Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're covering news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, police investigate disabled man's death after he's found in vehicle in Mesa. Homicide detectives were investigating the death of a disabled man whose body was found in a vehicle in Mesa, police said. Lorenzo Lopez, 36, was found dead in a vehicle on June 4 at ITC Personal In-Home Care, a facility for people with disabilities located at Lindsay Road and Adobe Street, according to Mesa Police spokesperson Detective Jose Aguirre. The discovery came sometime before 5:45 p.m. when officers were dispatched about the grim discovery, police initially said. Lopez had developmental disabilities, Aguirre said. The cause of death had not yet been determined as of the afternoon of June 6, Aguirre added. Homicide detectives were investigating, police said. It was unclear whether Lopez resided at the facility or what kind of vehicle he was found dead in. Aguirre did not have that information available when reached June 6. The investigation is ongoing and we hope to have more information in the coming days. I will keep your questions in mind and will respond once I have the answers, Aguirre emailed to the Arizona Republic. That story was police investigate disabled man's death after he's found in vehicle in Mesa. The next story, Reverend Patsy Konecki installed at Epiphany of Christ Lutheran Church in Apache Junction. The Reverend Pastor Patsy Konecki was installed June 7 as a halftime pastor at Epiphany of Christ Lutheran Church in Apache Junction. The Reverend Deborah Hutterer, Bishop of the Grand Canyon Synod, presided, according to a release from the Grand Canyon Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. The story was Reverend Patsy Konecki installed at Epiphany of Christ Lutheran Church in Apache Junction. The next story, Pokemon cards stolen from two Metro Phoenix shops in less than a month. Four boxes of Pokemon cards were stolen from a Gilbert smoke shop, the second burglary of the popular trading cards in Metro Phoenix, in less than a month. Police responded to an alarm at the smoke depot near Warner and Cooper Roads around 4:20 a.m. June 2, according to Gilbert Police. Detectives saw a broken glass at the entrance, which they said indicated the business had been burglarized. Once at the scene, the business owner reported that four boxes of Pokemon cards were stolen, police said. No suspects had been identified as of June 4, but police collected surveillance footage of the robbery. Anyone with information related to this incident was asked to report it by calling the Gilbert Police Department at 480-503-6500 or at gilbertaz.gov/submitatip. This was the second burglary of Pokemon cards in under a month in the Phoenix area. In Tempe, a trading shop owner lost nearly $7,000 worth of inventory after a masked man used a sledgehammer to break down a glass door to the store. Tempe police said on June 4 that there were no updates regarding potential suspects, but that tips were being investigated. Pokemon cards are part of a trading card game that's popularity has surged exponentially since 2020, according to CNBC. Rare cards can be resold for millions of dollars. Both Tempe and Gilbert police said detectives have noticed an uptick in trading card-related crimes. Trading card thefts are a common item shoplifted, and there has been an increased amount of trading card-related crimes in the past year due to scarcity, said Tempe police spokesperson Sergeant Kurt Buszkowski. We are aware that Pokemon card theft has become an increasing trend across many cities, driven by the high value placed on some of these cards, Gilbert Police spokesperson Brenda Carrasco said. Our property crimes detectives closely monitor trends like this and maintain ongoing communication with our law enforcement partners across the valley to share information and identify any broader patterns. Other local shops, such as Ronin Games in Mesa and the Power Card Shop in Phoenix, were both burglarized in October and December. That story was Pokemon cards stolen from two Metro Phoenix shops in less than a month. The next story, suspect arrested in stabbing near Meridian Road, Apache Trail. On Friday, June 5, Apache Junction police officers responded to a report of a stabbing near Meridian Road and Apache Trail. The incident occurred on the west side of Meridian Road, which is within an unincorporated Maricopa County island area and is typically handled by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. It states on Facebook at Apache Junction PD. Officers contacted the victim, who reported being stabbed in the face by an acquaintance. The victim crossed the street to seek help, and responding officers obtained a description of the suspect, it states. AJPD officers quickly located and detained the suspect at a nearby business before transferring the investigation to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, which assumed primary responsibility for the case. The victim was transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The suspect was arrested and booked into jail on aggravated assault-related charges. That story was suspect arrested in stabbing near Meridian Road, Apache Trail. The next story, busy Mesa intersection in spotlight after 3 bad crashes in a week. The bull riding community is gathering to pay tribute to 31-year-old Morgan Julian, who was killed in a collision at the intersection of State Route 24 and Signal Butte Road in southeast Mesa. His was the latest fatality at the intersection as scrutiny over the area's safety increased following a string of crashes within a week, 5 months after the posted speed limit increased by 10 miles per hour. Julian was described as a beloved friend, father, bull rider, judge, and member of our community who was taken from us far too soon, according to a Facebook post from Roadrunner Restaurant and Saloon. The restaurant will host a fundraiser on June 20 to support his family. 3 crashes in late May at the intersection were connected to red light runners, said Jesse Macias, a spokesperson for Mesa Police. Julian's crash took place on May 30. Just 4 days prior, shortly after midnight, a 2-vehicle crash in the intersection left one occupant trapped inside a car. Mesa Fire and Medical extracted the passenger, who was transported to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The most serious crash happened on May 25. Mesa Police's preliminary investigation found that a sedan ran a red light and crashed into a passenger van. The collision killed Evan Zuba, a 51-year-old woman, Macias said. Another 8 people were taken to the hospital with minor injuries. The Southeast Valley Highway is a critical connector for residents in Queen Creek and Santan Valley that has more than 62,000 daily trips, according to Arizona Department of Transportation data. Although the string of crashes happened in rapid succession, Mesia said the traffic signals at the intersection are functioning properly. Mesia said the department was reviewing the circumstances of each collision to see if there are any common trends and what steps can be taken to help prevent future collisions. The Arizona Department of Public Safety was also assisting Mesa Police, he said. Mesa Police were also beefing up enforcement and adding traffic enforcement officers in the area with a specific focus on addressing traffic violations that contribute to serious collisions, Macias said. Officers will also monitor traffic patterns and hope the increased visibility will promote safer driving, he said. In the meantime, Mesa's Transportation Department is reviewing the factors for the crashes and has not determined the cause of the crashes, said Sarah Miranda, a spokesperson for the city, in a written statement. Miranda said the Transportation Department was working with Mesa Police on mitigation, including increased enforcement and possible engineering solutions. Signal timing changes, increased signal head visibility, and other engineering improvements will be explored after the crash analysis is completed based on the findings, she said. SR-24 is a 4-lane divided highway between Loop 202 and Ironwood Drive in the Southeast Valley. The Signal Butte intersection was opened in 2022, bordering Queen Creek and Mesa after much anticipation it would improve traffic flow in the area. In December, ADOT increased the speed limit on SR-24 by 10 miles per hour, stating studies showed most vehicles traveled up to about 70 miles per hour despite the posted 45 mile per hour speed limit. According to ADOT, it made the change to encourage drivers to travel closer to the posted speed. Currently, SR-24 has at-grade intersections from Williamsfield Road to Ironwood Drive, but plans are underway to fully separate the highway from cross-street traffic by building bridges over the roads. However, construction on those improvements isn't expected to begin until late 2026, according to ADOT. That story was Boise-Mesa intersection in spotlight after three bad crashes in a week. The next story, affordability, water, infrastructure, key issues with LD7 candidates. Residents in Arizona Legislative District 7 will head to the polls to vote in the July 21 primary. In the Senate race, incumbent Wendy Rogers faces no challengers in the Republican primary, and McKeel Mike Montiel also faces no challengers in the Democratic primary. In the race for LD7 representative, incumbent Walter Walt Blackman faces former state representative David Cook Sr., Andrew Costanzo, and Barbie Engel. The top two vote-getters will move on to the general election in November. In the Democratic primary, Samuel Sam Martin is running unopposed. Richard Grayson of the Green Party is a write-in candidate. LD7 encompasses Apache Junction, Gold Canyon, Flagstaff, Page, Winslow, Sholo, Sedona, and Pinetop Lakeside. Independent News Media sent out a questionnaire to learn about the candidates' thoughts on the critical issues facing LD7. Rogers, Montiel, and Martin did not respond. Walt Blackman. District 7, hometown Snowflake. Employment, Arizona State Representative, CEO, WB Consults, LLC, U.S. Army Veteran, Combat. Community involvement. I actively serve the people of LD7 through legislative leadership, constituent services, and community engagement across rural Arizona. I advocate for public safety, support veterans, work on education reform, and collaborate with local leaders, tribal communities, and nonprofits to deliver real solutions. Why did you choose to run? I chose to run because I believe leadership is about service, not status. After serving our country in combat, I came home with a mission to continue serving, this time for the people of Arizona. I saw gaps in accountability, rising costs hurting families and rural communities being overlooked. I stepped forward to bring strong, principled leadership that puts people first, delivers results, and restores trust in government. What do you see as the biggest issue facing the state heading into the next legislative session? The biggest issue facing Arizona is the rising cost of living combined with a lack of government accountability. Families are struggling with housing costs, inflation, health care access, and energy prices. At the same time, government systems, from child safety to public safety to budgeting, are not operating with the transparency and efficiency taxpayers deserve. We must address affordability while fixing broken systems that impact lives every day. What bills do you plan to introduce to deal with this issue? I'll be introducing and advancing legislation focused on cost of living relief policies to reduce financial burdens on Arizona families, including tax relief and housing accessibility, public safety and fentanyl enforcement, strong penalties for those distributing fentanyl, especially to minors, and expanded prevention efforts in schools, government accountability and oversight, increased transparency requirements, stronger oversight mechanisms, and enforcement tools for state agencies. Child safety reform, continued oversight and legislative fixes to address systemic failures within the Department of Child Safety. Rural infrastructure investment, strategic funding for roads, healthcare access, and economic development in rural and tribal communities. Why do you think you are the best candidate for the position? I bring proven leadership, real-world experience, and a record of delivering results. As a combat veteran, I understand accountability, mission focus, and putting people first. As a legislator, I don't just talk about problems, I take action. I've led oversight efforts, moved meaningful legislation, and stood firm on issues that matter to Arizonans. I lead with integrity, I communicate directly, and I fight for the people I represent every single day. What are the issues you believe could be common ground between the political parties during the next session? There is a real opportunity for common ground in areas where Arizonans expect results, not politics. Public safety, protecting communities and addressing the fentanyl crisis, child welfare, ensuring the safety and well-being of children in state care, veteran services, supporting those who served our country, infrastructure, improving roads, water systems, and rural access, government accountability, increasing transparency and efficiency. These are not partisan issues. They are Arizona issues. If we stay focused on outcomes instead of politics, we can deliver meaningful progress. David Cook, age 57, District 7, hometown, Globe, employment, rancher. Community involvement, as much as possible. Why did you choose to run? I served for 8 years in my rural district. Today, I find myself running again because of the candidates running. I believe that the difference in myself and what not only I accomplished, but what I can continue to accomplish, no other candidate can match. What do you see as the biggest issue facing the state heading into the next legislative session? The budget is always the largest issue. What bills do you plan to introduce to deal with this issue? I specifically focus on infrastructure projects, water, and commerce issues. Why do you think you are the best candidate for the position? As stated above, my past legislative and business experience. A freshman will spend 2 years learning a process I know, which is wasted time for the state and citizens of our district. What are issues you believe could be common ground between the political parties during the next session? Funding, taxes, education, water, and commerce. Andrew Costanzo, age 60, District 7, hometown, Payson. Employment, business owner. Community involvement, Republican precinct committee man, conservative activist. Why did you choose to run? In our Republican form of government, all political power is inherent in the people. The people temporarily lend some of their power to those who represent them. I believe that I needed to run so that I may offer true constitutional conservative politics and principles to the LD7 electorate. We must strive to elect the most freedom and liberty-minded candidates at all levels. What do you see as the biggest issue facing the state heading into the next legislative session? As an Arizona state legislator, it will be my mission to promote limited government and a strong economy. What bills do you plan to introduce to deal with this issue? It is evident from the waste, fraud, and abuse found at all levels of government that we, the people, are overtaxed. I will co-sponsor, DOGE-style auditing of all state agencies to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse of the people's money. I will co-sponsor tax cuts, most likely the elimination of personal income tax. We will achieve this legislation through the savings resulting from the DOGE auditing, subsequent new business and industry, along with the related additional tax revenue, will relocate to Arizona because of our lower taxes. This, in turn, will create additional tax revenue for the Arizona without burdening the taxpayers. Why do you think you are the best candidate for the position? I am committed to limited government and conservative values, which include lower taxes and election integrity, along with law and order, and protecting the empowerment scholarship accounts, school choice. Additionally, with the exception of working for Charlie Kirk's Turning Point Action, I have been a business owner my entire working life. I know how business must be performed. This knowledge will enable me to help make government accountable to the people. Lastly, I am a longtime Arizona Republican activist and elected officer within the party apparatus. I am aware of many of the traps and pitfalls that a naive candidate would not know. What are issues you believe would be common ground between the political parties during the next session? It will be difficult to find common ground with the Democrats in the state legislature. They are mostly delusional individuals. For example, they believe that men can be women and that babies may and should be murdered in their respective mother's womb. The Democrats additionally believe in the gender mutilation of children and other tyrannical ideals that include that they are entitled to the fruits of your labor, socialism/communism. It is possible that common ground may be found within road maintenance and road improvement, in so much as most everyone drives. However, the Democrats may not agree as they are more interested in restricting your travel and mandating how you may travel. Should the Democrats realize that they truly favor freedom and liberty, I will be happy to work with them. However, I will never compromise my integrity or moral values. The U.S. and Arizona constitutions will always be my compass. Richard Grayson, age 75, District 7, hometown, Apache Junction. Employment, Central Arizona College, Superstition Mountain Campus Library. community involvement. Co-chair, Pinal County Greens. Why did you choose to run? Unfortunately, only one Democrat, Sam Martin, qualified to run for the two seats as LD7 state representative. I am running in the Green Party primary to give Democratic and other progressive voters who want to use their second vote in the general election another candidate to vote for. What do you see as the biggest issue facing the state heading into the next legislative session? The single biggest issue facing Arizona heading into the next legislative session is probably water, specifically long-term water security tied to growth, housing, and the Colorado River. That doesn't mean it's the only issue. Affordability, housing costs, school funding, immigration, and the budget will all dominate debate. But water has become the issue that intersects with almost everything else in Arizona politics and economics. Recent polling found Arizona voters ranked water and Colorado River protection ahead of inflation, border security, taxes, and education as the top priority for lawmakers. What bills do you plan to introduce to deal with this issue? I don't plan to introduce any bills because I do not have a realistic chance of getting elected. I am an anti-MAGA protest candidate and not delusional. Legislative District 7 is safely Republican. Why do you think you are the best candidate for this position? Honesty requires me to say that I am not the best candidate for most voters in this district. If your priorities are conservative government or loyalty to the Republican Party, there are other candidates who will better represent you. But if you believe in the work that leaders like Governor Hobbs, Secretary of State Fontes, Attorney General Mays, and the Democratic leaders in the state legislature, and you want your vote to reflect that, then along with Sam Martin, I'm probably the strongest voice for those values in this race. I'm running to make sure those voters have a real choice and to ensure those ideas are part of the public conversation in this district. What are issues you believe could be common ground between the political parties during the next session? Water conservation and drought management, public safety and the fentanyl crisis, economic development and tech innovation, child care and K-12 education, and even election mechanics, where, despite national debates, Arizonans across the political spectrum heavily favor preserving multiple voting methods, including early ballot drop-offs and mail-in ballots. Barbie Engel, age 53, District 7, hometown Woodbridge, Virginia, raised near Washington, D.C., military family, lived in Pinal County since 2006. Employment, chronic pain educator, best-selling author, patient advocate, vice president of the International Pain Foundation, and entrepreneur, KB Companies, Inc., former owner of a cheerleading dance training company, and first spirit program coach at D1A Washington State University. Community involvement. Precinct committeeman, Pinal County District 5 since 2022. Arizona GOP state committeeman, certified poll observer and election worker. Biopharma representative on the Arizona Rare Disease Advisory Council. Board member with the Arizona Chronic Care Coalition and International Pain Foundation, American Legion Auxiliary, Fraternal Order of Eagles, and graduate of the Apache Junction Citizen Leadership Institute. I have authored and co-authored 7 Arizona bills, 4 now law, protecting patient privacy and access to care, plus over 100 bills nationwide. Why did you choose to run? After deep prayer, conversations with my husband Ken, my family, and my precinct chairwoman, I knew God was calling me to step up. I'm running because LD7 and rural Arizona deserve a fighter who puts people over politics. Career politicians talk tough but fold when lobbyists show up. I won't. I'm running 100% clean elections. My campaign is grassroots from real LD7 Arizonans. I owe nothing to corporate PACs or special interests. I will fight every day for the families of LD7, our water, our farmland, our border security, law and order, privacy, freedom, and liberty. Arizona first, America first. No apologies, no excuses, just results. What do you see as the biggest issue facing the state heading into the next legislative session? Water security and the protection of Arizona's natural resources from unchecked growth and foreign exploitation. Foreign-owned mega farms are shipping our alfalfa and our water overseas while rural wells run dry and Arizona families pay the price. This is not free market capitalism, it's treason against Arizona families. Add in exploding data center demand and rapid population growth and we are on a collision course with unaffordable energy and water shortages. Without immediate action, we will lose the very resources that make Arizona livable. What bills do you plan to introduce to deal with this issue? Ban foreign entities from owning Arizona farmland and water rights. No more foreign governments or companies buying up our land and exporting our water. Rural Water Priority Act. Require that rural wells and Arizona ranchers, farmers are always prioritized over out-of-state and foreign developers. Energy Reliability and Ratepayer Protection Package, building on the citizen proposal from LD7. Mandate baseload power, including small modular reactors. Require data centers to build and pay for their own dedicated generation off their residential grid. Extend Palo Verde operations and review utility integrated resource plans in the legislature until we achieve true energy independence. These bills put Arizona families and rural communities first, exactly what LD7 and Arizonans need. Why do you think you are the best candidate for the position? I'm not a career politician. I'm a proven fighter who has already delivered results for patients and families throughout Arizona. I have drafted and helped pass 7 Arizona bills, 4 signed into law, protecting patient privacy and access to care. And I have advocated for over 100 bills across 35 states and at the federal level. I live the rural LD7 life on our Pinal County property north of Apache Junction. I overcame a debilitating rare chronic pain condition, algoneurodystrophy, through faith, resilience, and personal responsibility. These are the same values I will bring to the Capitol to serve LD7. I run clean elections, so I answer only to you, not to lobbyists. I bring real-world experience, legislative know-how, and an unbreakable commitment to God, family, freedom, and Arizona first. LD7 deserves a fighter who will never fold. What are issues you believe could be common ground between the political parties during the next session? Water security and resource protection. Every Arizonan, regardless of party, needs reliable water for families, farms, and future growth. We can't live, thrive, or survive without water. Energy affordability and reliability. Skyrocketing electric bills from data centers and green mandates hurt working families and seniors across the aisle. We can agree on practical baseload solutions that keep the lights on and rates down. Individualized patient-first health care and chronic rare disease care access. Protecting privacy, expanding treatment options, and removing government barriers to care are issues I have already worked on with broad support. Housing affordability through smart deregulation. Cutting red tape to build more homes without sacrificing rural character is something both sides can support. I'm ready to work with anyone who puts Arizona families first. That story was affordability, water, infrastructure, key issues with LD7 candidates. This has been East Valley News, covering the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Now stay tuned for more excellent content on Sun Sounds of Arizona.